And you see yourself as an evangelizer. That's another thing we forget. Like, yes, we have families to support, but we are also here to, you know, get more people to heaven. And how are you going to do that? And if you have that at least in the back of your mind, I think you're going to communicate more compassionately, listen a little bit better.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. It's such a great honor that you downloaded the podcast today, and I want to let you know that you are my hero. You're my hero for taking 25 minutes of your day, maybe on the way to work, maybe while you're out for a run, maybe sitting in your house early in the morning before the sun comes up, and just being encouraged. You know, today I have a special friend who's come on that's going to share a lot about how we communicate first with God, how we communicate with our families, our brides, and our children, how we communicate at work, and how we as a church can be challenged to go out and to tell our story in a compelling way. A story that for sure has hit some bumps in the road, has made some epic mistakes, but a church as well that feeds the poor, takes care of the orphan, stands up for those that are struggling. And that is the story that we should be screaming from the mountaintops. So I invite you today into a holy conversation with Dr. Laura Camacho, somebody you're going to love at the end of this and somebody you're going to be encouraged by, I am completely certain. So let us pray in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I just invite you into our lives today in a new way. I invite you into my holy conversation with Dr. Laura. And I just ask you, Jesus, to use her challenges, the spaces, God, where she calls us to look at each other and say, how can I communicate better with you? The spaces, God, where she tells us to look at our conversations and to lead with clear expectations and clear understanding of why what we're saying is important. Because the most important thing I can say to you right now, Lord, is that I love you and that I can receive your love. I pray, God, for the man, the family, the woman who's downloaded this podcast today who's struggling. And I just ask you, Lord, to give them peace. I ask all of these things through the prayers of Father Emil Capon, through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the Foxhole, Laura Camacho.
Thank you. It is great to be here. I'm excited.
Well, our audience doesn't yet know you as well as I know you, but they will pretty soon. So just give us, Laura, a little bit about you, where you come from, maybe speaking a little bit even to your spiritual background.
All right. Well, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was actually born in a little town near Charleston, just a small town that's, you know, everybody who had get up and go got up and left, and there's not much to it anymore. But I grew up in the Atlanta area, a very devout Baptist, then Episcopal family. My mother was a, you know, strong spiritual person who took her faith seriously. And, you know, I grew up in the nice, you know, Atlanta suburbs. I think the thing that made me a little bit weird or eccentric is that I was always interested in foreign languages. When I was 4, my grandmother gave me a book that had, you know, things like, it's a pretty day, es un día bonito. You had it in 4 different languages. And that really blew my mind that you could say something in different languages. So that, you know, first of all, you never know the power of a book when you're giving it to other people, even as young as 4 years old. But anyway, so I've had this international life. So that's very different from the typical Southern person that you think of. I studied Spanish and French and later other languages and studied economics. And I just wanted to have this international business, but I really didn't know what that was. And as a good Protestant, I have always had an appreciation for God and faith has always been important to us, to me, to up to my family, to my nuclear family. But we had this kind of attitude that, you know, this is an exaggerated form of it, but spend and the Lord shall send. It's kind of like a, like God is there to support you. He's and doing whatever you want to do. And there's probably some truth to that, but it's not, you know, God is not your genie that you rub it and you say the right thing and do the right thing. And, you know, your life's going to be great, which I was to learn, as we all do, later on. So, you know, I, like everybody, gotten mad at God and then come back and said, you know, you really do have things figured out. And I converted to the Catholic Church in my early 30s. And a lot of that, and, you know, this is, I might be put in jail for saying this, but I was living in Venezuela at the time. And so was attending a Catholic church just because that was the most convenient. And come home to visit my mom. She's in Atlanta, and we're attending an Episcopal church. And the altar servers that day, that particular service, were all female, three young ladies, you know, normal. The readers were of the gospel and the epistle, both female. The priest was a female. And the assistant priest was a female. And that kind of freaked me out. And it was a visceral reaction. And intellectually, I was like, well, if a woman can be a priest, then it should, and all these other roles, then if they're interchangeable, then it should, I should be perfectly fine with, you know, this pure female service. But I didn't feel fine about it. I felt really freaked out about it. So that led to some soul searching and studying the history of our church. And I joined, like, in Washington, North Carolina, when my middle child was two. And like a lot of converts, I joined with a lot of enthusiasm. And I really just have this great appreciation for the intellectual history and philosophy that we have, and the beauty and all these great resources. And eventually my mom also converted to Catholicism, and one of my brothers has, and my other siblings are on the fence still. So I, you know, grew up a Protestant, but became Catholic as an adult. And being in the South, where Catholics are, I think, like 2% of the population, you know, I have an appreciation for both sides. And then professionally, I was always, you know, pursuing my dream of the international business life, and, you know, not knowing how to do that. But I ended up living in Venezuela and Germany and Spain, and working in different areas of kind of the intellectual part of business life. As a writer, I had my own management newsletter in Caracas. In North Carolina, I ended up teaching at East Carolina University, ended up getting my PhD in communication studies. And then in 2009, I thought, well, I'm going to make the world a better place and start a communication skills training firm. And I thought my biggest problem would be like, wow, what am I going to do with all that money, right? Because I'm solving this problem. And then I realized that just opening up your shop doesn't necessarily mean that the money starts flowing in. So I had to learn how to build a business. And College of Charleston brought me to Charleston. I was teaching there for a short while and building my business. I learned that, you know, building a business in a place where you just don't know anybody is a little bit of a challenge. But I finally kind of figured it out, and praise God, business is good. And here we are chatting. I have three kids. I have a stepdaughter. I have a wonderful family, and I'm very blessed to be here.
Laura, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say they converted because of all female altar servers and priests. I got to let that sit for a minute, because that's going to that's interesting to me. But I want to take you, or maybe I want you to take me, PhD in communication, I make a living by communicating with other people. I think we all do, for that matter, make a living communicating
true.
With other people.
Absolutely so, true.
As I said to you when we chatted earlier about this, I want to start with God, because you have this beautiful faith and this beautiful conversion. So let's talk about that first. Like, how does the communication with God dictate the way we communicate with the world?
Well, it's kind of huge. And the first thing is to, you know, allow God space. Like, it's so easy. I mean, especially high performers, you know, all of my clients are high performers. And I'm guessing that your audience is pretty much high performers. I know you are. So like, we have ideas and we want to do them. And, you know, we want God involved. But sometimes it seems like that's too much. It takes too much time, or, you know, he's not on our schedule, or is not doing what I want him to do right now. And so I think having that remembering, you know, so many times we forget things, remembering that God is the source of all things, and just, you know, taking the time. I know that my communication has gotten so much better by allowing and forcing myself and establishing that routine of daily reading and a rosary. And when I skip that first, you know, because I'm too busy, then I'm always regretting that I didn't make it happen. So I think the first thing is just to realize that, you know, God is God and you're not. And that sounds obvious, but it's hard to accept that sometimes. So I think if you are operating from that point of view and you want, and you see yourself as an evangelizer, that's another thing we forget. Like, yes, we have families to support, but we are also here to, you know, get more people to heaven. And how are you going to do that? And if you have that, at least in the back of your mind, I think you're going to communicate more compassionately, listen a little bit better. Because the problem with communication is this: when we get all focused on ourselves and go into like this default where we're not even listening or really even present.
Yeah. Interestingly, you mentioned Venezuela, Germany. Is that right?
Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah.
In America, and we call it Little Washington, where we're from, but Little Washington, North Carolina. So I think if we're talking about communicating with God, I my students would always say, Mr. Ferris, what language does God speak? And I used to say the language of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you speak when no one else is with you. It's kind of like the way you talk. So if we took that language, I also feel like that's the purest way we speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing hidden. There's no airs. And most of us, the men, you're right, or the high performers that are listening to this podcast, are used to having to be protected in the way we communicate, because we're either trying to be tougher than we are, or stronger, or authoritative. So how do we, knowing that, how do we take this art of communication into our homes and with our children? And you have some daughters. So how would you say to the men listening right now, here's a few ways you can begin to communicate in a healthy way with your family?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked that. It's such a good question. And my goodness, I am so grateful to the fathers listening to this, and in your community and your work in building up fathers, because there's I perceive a huge deficit in good fathers. And thank you. Thank you, all of you who are listening, because if you're listening, that's because that your fatherhood, whether it's biological or not, is important to you. And so what do we need? We need fathers who protect, but we also need fathers who are confident in their role, in their masculine role. I think that there is a problem, and maybe y'all haven't seen it, I don't know, that some parents are just checking out, and they're so focused on being the friend to their child that they forget, or they're afraid, really. I think courage is like the big thing that we need. But as far as communicating well with your family, what I teach to clients every single day is that excellent communication starts with your purpose. So what is your purpose? What is, and always connecting to that purpose, even referring to that purpose. Like, let's say, Joe, that I need to give you some feedback. So I say, you know, Joe, I want you to be successful. I want us to work well together. And I see some things that will help you if you can, you know, overcome these gaps or get better at these certain skills. So I'm giving you a reason why I'm going to give you some feedback. And it's the same thing works at home, you know, like you want your children to be successful. You want them to get into heaven. You want them to be good people. You want them to be happy. And it's just reinforcing that message that your goal for them. And that inspires kids. We want to live up to high expectations. And I think it's a mistake to think that, you know, the easy path is, there's so much ease. Oh my gosh. I talk to high performing clients who see themselves sometimes as victims. And I'm like, you went to an Ivy League school. You worked at one of the top consulting firms. You now work for one of the top tech firms, and you don't feel like you can be yourself. It's such a crazy, distorted world, and it's full of so much deception. I think we need fathers who will stand up for the truth and speak the truth, and yet support us and to communicate just saying what needs to be said, you know, that's what I see as being needed. And as far as, you know, if you just want a couple of quick tips for communicating better, one is ask the person, hey, you know, and I would only do this with teenagers and above, like, how can I communicate better with you? You know, what can I do differently to communicate better with you? And listen, see what is said. You might not even get an answer the first time you ask that question, but if you keep asking, you will. Plus, you're forcing the person to think, well, how do I want dad to communicate, or my husband? What would be better? Because a lot of times we complain, but we don't really accept responsibility for affecting change. Another thing is, this is a handy dandy Swiss Army knife phrase. This is important because, you know, why is it important that you eat your broccoli? Why is it important that you clean your room? Because in our current world that's become so pagan, it seems like overnight, but of course it's been a long time in the making. We need to know, why is it important that we pray as a family? Why is it important that we go to Mass? Because we have forgotten that, you know, a pre-Christian, or a, you know, they say post-Christian, or we can just look at the pre-Christian world to know what that looks like. And without a church, rape isn't a crime. The idea of feeding the poor, that's a Christian idea. The idea of orphanages, taking care of orphans, that's a Christian idea. The whole idea that women can have a vocation, have a job that's not in service to a family besides prostitution, that's a Christian idea. And we have forgotten how much Christianity has brought into our world. And in every single family, we need to be reminding our kids and ourselves, like, our church represents something so amazing. And yet we're thinking about is the things that we hear from our culture about, Catholics hate gays and hate women. And what was it that you wanted to say? So we need fathers to help orient the kids to the beauty of our faith, and that we need them to just express their goals for the kids, for their children, for their families. I've even heard of families writing a mission statement. I think that would be a good exercise for communication. But just being interested in it is really the path.
All right, so let's do this, you guys. Hit pause. This is like I'm talking to the Dr. Laura that we've all heard of that comes on. And I love your honesty and openness and transparency. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening to the podcast right now, hit pause. Get out a piece of paper, write down, how can we communicate better? And this is important because, put it on the front of your refrigerator. Don't expect it to change overnight. But I think that's gold. That's super good stuff, Dr. Laura. I just said So it's so exciting, and I appreciate hearing this, because I do think the church itself has got a little communication issue with how we're communicating our message. But even before I get to that, I'd say 90% of the people listening right now go to work every day, and they're most of their life is in the work world. So what are a couple of things, if we can communicate with God somewhat effectively from our hearts, if we begin to work on communication at home, how can we in the business world effectively communicate without losing integrity or manipulating?
Oh my gosh, such a good question. That's like the question I ask myself every single day. And I'm just going to share, just to give you an example of how I think I was doing a good job in a very pagan environment. Because, you know, I'm a communication coach. I'm not a therapist. And so when a big company hires me, especially, you know, the FANG companies or these top, they're not hiring me to talk about my faith. And I believe strongly in telling the truth. In fact, that's what I teach my clients every single day. I'm not here to teach you how to sugarcoat things. I'm going to teach you the tools so that you have the courage to say what needs to be said. So we always need to speak to truth. So I had this client, again, a high, super, super high performer in a company, a company that everybody wants to work for. And she was pregnant, and, her fear, the reason she sought my help was, listen to this, she was afraid to tell her boss that she would no longer be able to work until midnight every night because she was feeling quite putrid, as anybody who's been pregnant often feels. Not everyone does, but it is, I certainly related. And so I spent our time together. I mean, I told her how to tell the guy how to bring it up, but I spent most of the time telling her what you're bringing this child into the world. That's going to overweigh the value of the work that you ever do. Because, you know, how lucky we are to have another person where you're the parent and this person is going to be a gift to the world. And just talking to her about the value of the child she was bringing in. All true, but certainly things that she wasn't feeling it at the time. And she was, you know, a lot of times pregnant high performers feel like they are hurting their careers. They're hurting themselves, that they're being a liability to the company instead of an asset. And so I spent our time trying to show her that that was an asset to the company. I even said, you're bringing a future consumer, a future client to your company. That is good news. So we need to remind people of these truths. And, you know, you don't need to, be talking about your Catholic faith maybe all the time, but you definitely need to be living it. I have a miraculous medal. All my work is done on video, or most of it. So they're seeing that. My office is full of Catholic art. It's a tricky line, but if you bring that commitment to truth, and if you're able to say the things that need to be said, you will stand out and you will be a witness. Because there's so much kowtowing to lies that I think people will notice if you actually stick to the truth. And what is the truth? That everybody needs to be heard, understood, and valued. That's my definition of a healthy culture. And that is a truth that transcends everything. Heard, understood, and valued.
All right, so let's talk about that a little bit, because I think to oversimplify communication, it's mm-hmm. what you say, and then there's a body language or kind of your environment or where you communicate from. And I often feel the church really does this well in mm-hmm. some instances, right? We've also done it poorly. We talked about it a few minutes too. But mm-hmm. talk to me a little bit, because the people listening want to figure out how to communicate the gospel to their children and grandchildren into their world in a healthy way. How has the church done well with this? And then what are some ways we can start to do better with it?
Oh, so good. What have we done? Well, we have, go to a mass. It's just so beautiful. And speaking of beauty, of course, I'm right in the middle of reading a novel by Dostoevsky. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, by the Brothers Karamazov. And of course, he refers to beauty. It's so true. It's an asset that we have totally ignored. And just a side comment, since I have the platform to say it, think of all the wealth that our society has generated right now. It's the wealthiest by far society ever. And what a beauty have we created? Almost nothing. But the church has contributed, even, I don't know if the concept of beauty, but definitely the beautiful architecture and the music and the art, and where we, in fact, in coaching people, sometimes I tell them, put yourself in the presence of something beautiful, whether it's, the seventh symphony, the second movement of Beethoven, that always takes me to another place, or walking into a beautiful church. That beauty is an asset that we have that we don't pay much attention to. So if you have any way of bringing, contributing to beauty in the way in your office, in your home, I think that's a good way to connect with the Catholic faith. That's the one thing that we've done well, not to mention, creating hospitals, creating orphanages, creating universities, even the idea that women should be educated. Where does that come from? But it's kind of like we're not the second Department of Health and Human Services either. So, but what are the stories? What are the stories of Hildegard van Bingen, in the Middle Ages, what are called the Dark Ages? Here was this woman who was an intellectual. She was a healer. She was an artist. I didn't even know that. If anybody has subscribes to Magnificat, her art is featured in June. And she's an amazing one. Nobody knows about Hildegard van Bingen. That's a story. What about St. Clair of Assisi? I mean, there's a woman, in the 8th century? I don't know, 9th, 12th century? I don't know my history that well. But those stories, we need to be reminded of these amazing people in our faith tradition that literally changed the world. And I think that if we reconnect with those stories, we're going to have the courage to, to speak the truth, to speak truth to power, and to say what needs to be said. Did I get anything specific in that?
No, you mentioned a whole bunch of big names. So, I always think they're good. And I love Magnificat for nothing else, for the art. But I think it always, the connections are there too. So I'm going to give you, Dr. Laura, a little bit of time here on the back end of the podcast, just to, maybe there's something you just feel like sharing with the audience. I've told you before, our audience are in the spirit of Father Capon, who really did a tremendous amount of work of just walking with people and staying close to his men during tough times. What would you say to the man who's tuned in right now, who's like, I get this, I'll try it with God, I'll try it with my family, I'll try it at work, I'll try to evangelize. Give him some last words from the work you're doing and maybe just from your prayer.
Okay. I just can't say it strongly enough. What you are doing, to have a father who loves his children and wife, who's working to support them, who is trying to develop them as leaders in our culture. I mean, thank you. Keep doing it. Be encouraged. You are a species in danger of extinction. I wish I could, put you all in glass boxes to make sure that you survive, because our culture is so toxic right now. But you and me, we are the ones that can make a difference, can change things. And how can we change that? But I think leaning in even more, like asking yourself, How can I lean in more to the Catholic faith? How can I speak up a little bit more? How can I share a little bit more? I believe in baby steps. So just what's something, maybe add another decade to your daily rosary, or send a book that you can recommend to, you know, send a book out that's by a Catholic author to your prospects or clients or your team. We have got to have more courage, have more strength to be forces for good in transforming our culture. It is just it's very sick and toxic right now. It's poisonous. So we need you all to step up even more to the plate and help build our culture back.
Well, Dr. Laura, it has been wonderful to have you on the podcast. It's been wonderful to reconnect with you and to hear the things you're doing that are so great in the business world and the church world. So I would love it if you would pray us off the podcast. I want to assure you and your family of the prayers of Capon's men and my personal prayers as well. And just ask you to pray us off the podcast.
Happy to do so. Dear God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you so much for this community. You know how honored and delighted I am to share this brief moment with them. And I want you to please, Father, give us the wisdom that we need to make the decisions and to make every decision count, to move the culture forward back to you, back to acknowledging you as our God and the ultimate source of goodness and beauty and truth. And God, give us the courage to say what needs to be said. Give us courage to do things, to show up on as ambassadors for our Catholic faith. Please, Lord, I ask you for the wisdom and the courage for each and every one of us, especially today, and let us, but at the end of this day, look back and see where we had more courage or we had more wisdom, thanks to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Laura, thank you for encouraging us today to seek and speak the truth at all times. It's promising to hear that you try to orient your clients to building a culture of truth in a world that doesn't always seek it. But for all of us listening, our challenge isn't necessarily to change the culture in the same way that you do, but in our families and in our workplaces. So let's incorporate those two phrases that Laura and Joe highlighted into our lives this week. How can I communicate better? And this is important because. And try to be more clear, effective communicators. Thanks for joining us today in the Foxhole. We pray that Father Capon watches over you this week. And as always, stay humble and stay courageous.
We can surely expect that in our own lives, there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.